private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Well, there's not much you can do about it, I guess. Except, like Julie always says...
Walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now Peter Troy investigates the case of the marauding mademoiselles.
Julie, as you've probably noticed, has often been heard to remark on my undoubted talent for attracting trouble. Now, here I have to protest. It isn't that way at all. It's just that I always seem to be right there in the middle when trouble takes it into its head to erupt. Pure coincidence. And Julie goes on to say that this trouble I attract usually wears skirts and high-heeled shoes. Well, the way I look at it is this. If me and Calamity are going to make it permanent, then at least let's have Calamity easy on the eyes. And talking of Calamity that's easy on the eyes, let me introduce you to a double sample of it in the shapely shapes of Bettina and Belinda, two of the most adorable bundles of pure Calamity anyone would wish to meet.
It was so good of you to give us a lift, monsieur.
Oh, we are most grateful.
My pleasure, girls, my pleasure. Your French, eh?
Oui, monsieur.
Holidaying in England?
A working holiday, monsieur.
Which reminds me, this has been very pleasant, but now we must think about work.
What sort of work do you do?
Stop the car, monsieur, and we shall show you.
Eh?
Just a disembankment, s'il vous plaît. Pull to the side.
Now,
take
just
the key
a minute.
From the ignition, monsieur.
Do not make any trouble, please.
Otherwise, my sister will use the gun, monsieur.
Good. Now. Okay, Bettina, search him. I'll keep a watch out.
Nice fat wallet. £100 or more.
Good.
Nice signet ring. Gold wristwatch and gold cigarette case. That's about the lot.
Okay, turn the wheel. Take off the handbrake. There. Come on.
You think we can push this great hulking car, Belinda?
Sure. It's on an incline. Let's go.
There she goes.
Well, that seems to be that, Sister Mine.
All right, now let's get away from here just as quickly as we can.
I wonder if...
We don't have time to worry about that.
A charming pair of cuties, huh? Well, some 3 hours later, the police were called to the spot, and when they dragged the motorist from the ruins of his expensive limousine, they found him very dead. The marauding mademoiselles had now added murder to their other undoubted talents. Of course, that hitchhiking gimmick couldn't miss. I mean, well, what red-blooded male citizen could ignore two beautiful girls stranded at the side of the road? Two gals obviously thumbing a lift. Well, not me. No, certainly not Mrs. Troy's only son.
Do not make any trouble, please.
Otherwise, my sister will use the gun, monsieur.
Oh, come on now. What sort of a gag is this?
This is no joke, monsieur, I assure you.
You don't honestly
you
think...
You talk too much, monsieur.
You know something? This could give me a complex about picking up hitchhikers in the future.
You are pleased to joke at this time. We are not joking, monsieur. I promise you that.
And I shall prove it to you. All right, search him, Belinda.
He was rather nice, wasn't he?
Never mind that. What's the haul?
Wallet's a bit thin. Oh, no.
What's the matter?
There's only £6 in it.
Oh, letters?
No. In fact, hey, Bettina.
What?
His driving license.
Well?
It's made out to a Peter Troy.
Troy?
And listen to this. Metropolitan police license to practice as a private investigator.
Oh, no.
We've made a mistake.
You can say that again. Let's get away from here.
Well, what about him?
He'll have to be silenced.
Oh, no, not again.
But we can't leave him here alive.
Listen.
Car coming.
Get out your side. Quick, into the ditch.
Oh, my new dress.
Shut up and keep down.
Close.
It was too close.
Just look at my dress.
Oh, forget that. What are we going to do about him?
Well, we'll just...
Another car.
Let's get out of this.
But Troy,
no time to worry about him.
He's coming to now, Inspector.
Must have a head like cast iron.
Oh, brother, my aching head.
It's all right, Pete.
Julie.
You're in Hartford District Hospital.
Huh?
Yes, and by rights you should be in Hartford Cemetery.
What are you doing here, Caswell?
What do you think, Troy?
Oh, just leave me to die in peace, will you?
Listen, the doctors say you can be discharged.
Oh, thanks, but I think I'll rest here a while.
Well, Pete, what happened?
Well, I got bopped, that's what happened. Oh, my head feels like it doesn't belong to me.
Real little spitfires, weren't they?
Yeah, and... how did you know?
Oh, we've been after them for months, Troy.
You mean I'm not there first?
Listen, last week they killed a man.
Well, well.
Now, what can you tell me about them?
Well, they were rather small, slim, golden haired.
And French?
Well, that's what they wanted me to believe.
What?
Now, look, I spent a lot of time in France, Inspector, and I can...
And he would have met more mademoiselles than messieurs.
Well, yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, but...
But other victims said they spoke with a French accent.
Phony as a $2 bill, Inspector.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Well, they were twins, huh?
Mm-hmm, identical.
Oh, Pete, I got your effects from the hospital desk.
You mean what's left of them?
Well, that's just it. I don't think there's anything missing.
What? Well, let me see. Driving license, papers, $6.
Well?
There's not a darn thing missing. Now, that doesn't make very much sense.
No, it doesn't, does it?
In my car?
In the Hartford Police car compound. They're going over it for prints.
Well, they won't find any. Both the gals wore gloves.
Oh, tell me, what were you doing on that road anyway?
I have a buddy who lives in Watton Green, just north of Hartford. We played soldiers during the war.
Oh, I see.
Oh, look, Inspector, if those cuties are... making a habit of this, surely you must have some leads.
No, that's just it, Troy. We have surprisingly little to go on.
Yeah, but the other victims...
told us only as much as they had to.
What? Well, how do you mean?
They were very reluctant to give us any details.
Well, that doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah, maybe it does. If you forget the robbery motive and concentrate on another angle.
What other angle?
Blackmail.
Fools. You stupid fools.
But, Mother...
two mistakes in 1 week, and either of them could prove fatal.
We couldn't help it.
I warned you. I warned you how careful we'd have to be.
Mother, listen.
This man, Troy, has a reputation.
Well, what do we do, Mother?
I don't know. We have to think. The important thing is to lie low for a little while.
Well, the police...
I can handle them if they come around. In the meantime, take your makeup off and put those wigs away.
Troy. Peter Troy. He was very nice looking, Mother. Had nice eyes. He was rugged, but I remember that he had nice eyes.
I hope you still think that when he stands up in court and gives evidence against you.
No, he won't do that. You'll look after it. You always do.
There may come a time when I'm not around to help you.
Mother, ring for Joshua and let's have a cup of tea. I could use one.
It'll be ready for you when you've changed and put the wigs away. I wish those wigs weren't necessary. They hide your lovely blue-black hair.
And that lovely blue-black hair makes us stand out a mile.
Yes, I know, I know.
You know, Julie, there's something about the whole setup bothers me. Something I can't put my finger on.
Oh, he just about gets his skull split open and he says something bothers him.
Yeah, well, by that I mean there's something incongruous somewhere along the line. Now, Inspector, what did the lab boys find in my car?
Remarkably little, actually.
Oh, come on now.
Well, I...
Well, now, don't be coy, Caswell.
Hmm? All right, then. Who's your dark-haired lady friend?
What?
They found some long black hair on the back of the car seat. Well, just a few strands, but most unusual. Blue-black.
I haven't had a dark-haired woman in my car since I don't know when.
And I don't dye my hair. It really is this color.
And believe me, I... Hey, wait a minute. That could be it.
What?
A dark-haired woman would have different skin coloring to a honey blonde now, wouldn't she?
Well, yes, of course.
Well, maybe that's what bothered me about those girls. They should have had black hair. The skin tone should have gone with dark hair, yet they were blondes.
Oh, now, how the devil
could
you...
Oh, believe me, Inspector, on these matters, Pete's an expert. The study of the female of the species is his particular hobby.
All right. So surely to goodness, finding a pair of raven-haired twins who have a talent for the gentle art of the stick-up Shouldn't be too difficult, should it?
Well, the inspector hasn't found them to date, Pete.
Yeah, but to date, I wasn't involved.
Troy, there's no fee in this.
That's all right, Caswell. This one's on the house. I'm going to find those gals, and I'm going to explain to them the error of their ways. And I'm going to do it either with police help or without. Now, let's get down to business, shall we? I learned a lot from Inspector Caswell. For one thing, I learned that he and a team of Scotland Yard men had been after the twins for a long time. I also learned that there'd been 7 victims before me, but that I'd been the only one ready and willing to squawk. The others had seemed unwilling to cooperate with the police. The big question was why. Caswell believed it was because they were ashamed of having been taken in by the girls. But I couldn't go along with that. I've got as much pride as the next man, and I hadn't been ashamed, just mad. Awful mad.
A lot of puzzles in this case, Troy, and this isn't the least of them. Now, this is a map of the county of Hertfordshire. Those crosses are the places where the twins have struck.
Yeah, they seem to form a rough circle.
That's correct, a circle, with the village of Bramfield as its axis.
Well, it could be a red herring, of course.
Yeah, it could be, but I have a feeling it isn't. You see, in each case, the girls were on the side of the road, and the victims say there were no other cars in sight for a couple of miles either way. Therefore, it's reasonable to assume that they walked to the spot.
And after they'd bobbed their victims?
Oh, either they had the car hidden off the road, or they must have made their escape by foot.
Mm.
Now, not one of the attacks was made further than 8 or 9 miles from Bramfield. They could have got back there across the countryside virtually unseen.
Okay, I'll go along with that. But there's one point you haven't elaborated on. As I recall, you mentioned blackmail.
Yes, that's right.
You want to tell me about that?
No, I don't want to, but I suppose I'll have to. You see, each of the victims was on his way to the town of Welwyn. And each victim had something else in common.
What's that?
They all had the same lawyer, a Mr. Geoffrey Ambrose of Welwyn.
Hmm. And were they all on their way to see the guy?
Yes.
Ambrose. Don't I know something about that fella? Seems to me I've heard... Oh, yeah.
Yes. In America, they call him a shyster lawyer.
I remember now. He uses all the legal shenanigans in the book.
A couple of magistrates have already warned him. He's been very nearly debarred from practicing.
You know, that's really interesting.
Well, there's more to come.
Such as?
Well, apart from the one that died, all the victims made large withdrawals from their bank accounts shortly after their respective attacks.
Which explains your blackmail theory.
Yes, and their reluctance to cooperate with the police.
A typical blackmail pattern.
Now, we're in the process of investigating their backgrounds. We might just uncover something interesting there.
Yeah. And if your blackmail theory holds up, then the hitchhike attacks weren't made at random.
You're catching on, Troy. We think those victims were carefully chosen. The girls knew that those motorists would be at those specific places at that time. They were waiting for them.
And what about me?
Oh, I think you were a mistake.
You mean there was someone else due to be traveling that road in a similar type of car to mine?
Correct. And this time they'd chosen a woman. Apparently she was following close behind you. In fact, it was she who found you and reported it to us.
Another prospective blackmail victim.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, I have one last question.
Yes?
Why are you telling me all this? You usually don't confide the details of your cases to me.
But my dear fellow, you've been involved in this unpleasantness. You're entitled to know what it's all about.
Well, since when have I been entitled to anything as far as you're concerned? Well, I guess I'll be on my way.
Keep out of trouble, Troy.
Easier said than done, Inspector.
No, hello, Sergeant Dixon. Inspector Caswell here. Listen, Peter Troy has just left my office. Have him tailed, will you? He's just itching for trouble. I want to know about it when it hits him.
The thing that worries me most of all is that nothing's been reported in the newspaper yet.
Oh, surely that's a good sign, Mother.
Not necessarily.
Maybe Troy didn't report it to the police.
And George Purlieu's death was reported as an accident.
Maybe that's what they thought it was.
Only fools underestimate the police, Bettina.
Personally, I don't think we have anything to worry about. They can't trace us.
Don't be so sure.
Your tea, madam.
Thank you, Joshua. We'll have it on the little table here. Oh, Joshua.
Yes, madam.
We shall have to double our precautions from now on.
Trouble, madam?
There could be.
I'll be on the lookout.
Your revolver?
I keep it on me all the time, madam.
Good. The ground should be patrolled at night.
I'll look after that, too.
Thank you. That will be all.
Very good, madam.
And as for you two, one of you must keep out of sight at all times.
Oh, we don't have to go through all that again, do we?
Let me ask you a question, Bettina. How would you like to spend the rest of your life in jail?
All right, all right.
Remember that you were the ones who made the mistakes. I'm going to have to be the one who rectifies them.
Oh, all right, Mother, you've made your point. We'll do as we're told.
And your biggest mistake was not in causing George Purlew's death. It was in mistaking this man Peter Troy's car for Edna Gifford's.
That was Jeffrey's fault. When he rang through, all he said was a grey sedan and the name Gifford. He didn't say whether the driver was a man or a woman.
Jeffrey was being cautious. He issues the instructions as quickly and briefly as he can.
Well, we didn't know until it was too late that we had the wrong party.
It was just rotten luck that the two grey sedans were travelling along the Watton Green Road.
Naturally, we stopped the first one that came along.
I have a bad feeling about all this. I have the feeling that Mr. Peter Troy is going to cause us a great deal of trouble in the very near future.
After leaving this office, sir, Troy went straight to the nearest post office. There he asked for a copy of the Bramfield telephone directory. I checked the book after he'd finished with it. It was open at the page listing names beginning with A.
Well, you've got to hand it to Troy. He's no fool. By now, he knows the address of a Mrs. Edwina Ambrose Bramfield.
From the post office, he went straight to King's Cross Station.
Bought a ticket for Bramfield?
Yes, sir.
Lonergan following him now?
Yes, sir.
Good. Well, Troy's run true to form.
Well, what'll he do next?
I wish I knew. He'll probably barge in on Mrs. Ambrose and then... it's anyone's guess. I'm not sure she's the one we're after. No, her son is Geoffrey Ambrose, the lawyer. But she only has one daughter. There are no twins. Of course, Ambrose may be working in with his mother. On the other hand, it could all be a blind alley. Still, Troy should sort it out all right. Order me a car driver, will you, Johnson? If there are going to be any fireworks, and I ought to be in Bramfield to see them go off.
You have no explanation to offer, then, Mr. Troy, as to why you were snooping around our grounds?
None at all, Mrs. Ambrose.
My manservant would have been quite within his rights to have shot you.
That's right.
I find your attitude most disconcerting, Mr. Troy.
Yes, I should imagine you do, ma'am.
Naturally, this is a police matter.
Yeah, how about that? It is a police matter. And it's been over half an hour since that strong-arm boy of yours caught me. Yet you've made no move to call the police. I wonder why you haven't.
I should first like to know what you were doing here.
Okay, I'll come clean. As it happens, I was looking for a couple of girls.
Indeed?
A pair of twins.
Well, I'm afraid you were wasting your time. There are no twins in this household. I have one daughter, Belinda. Just one daughter.
And another relative in Welwyn, Mr. Geoffrey Ambrose, a lawyer.
My son, Belinda's brother. Can you describe the young ladies you're looking for?
Sure. Last time I saw them, they were blondes. Very cute, very curvy, very deadly. I still have a lump on the back of my head to qualify that last description of them.
My daughter has raven black hair, Mr. Troy.
Oh? May I meet her?
Why?
Just to satisfy my curiosity.
Joshua, ask Miss Belinda to come in, will you?
Yes, madam. You, Troy. Don't try anything.
I wouldn't dream of it.
Mr. Troy, you can ask anyone hereabouts. I really do have only one daughter.
So they tell me. I already checked.
Why are you so anxious to find these twin girls?
Because I gave them a lift. And they had a funny way of showing their appreciation.
You wanted to see me, Mother? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had company.
This is Mr. Peter Troy, Belinda. He seems anxious to meet you.
I'm flattered. I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Troy.
Now, let me see.
What's the matter?
I'm just trying to imagine your daughter wearing a blonde wig and a change of lipstick and a little less eyeshadow.
What does that mean?
It means that there's another one of these cuties hiding in this house somewhere, Mrs. Ambrose. I've met this daughter of yours before. Only the last time she was using a phony French accent. Parlez-vous français, mademoiselle?
Mother,
I think this joke of yours has gone far enough, Mr. Troy.
Tell me, Belinda. Were you the one that did the bopping?
I really don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Troy.
And you still wear the same perfume. In my book, that's the clincher. Well, Mrs. Ambrose, why don't you call the police?
I said you would be the one who'd cause us all the trouble.
Don't try anything, Mr. Troy.
And let me assure you, Mr. Troy, that gun Joshua's holding is really loaded, and he knows how to use it.
I believe you.
For the record, as you would put it, Mr. Troy, it was my sister Bettina that hit you.
Hello again, Mr. Troy. How's your poor old head?
You'll understand if I don't get up.
You're very clever, Mr. Troy. Perhaps too clever.
Oh, it wasn't too difficult figuring it out. Geoffrey Ambrose has quite a reputation. All you have to do is add two and two together. It was blackmail, wasn't it?
I dislike the word. It has a horrible sound.
And it carries a horrible prison sentence, too. Now, let me see if I get the picture right. Geoffrey Ambrose specializes in those difficult, embarrassing cases, doesn't he? People make mistakes and look for a lawyer with special talents to get them out of it.
You're talking yourself right into a grave, Troy.
Oh, let him finish. I find him fascinating.
Yeah. Well, Brother Geoffrey tells the clients with troubles to come along to his Welwyn office, bringing with them the evidence of their mistakes. He makes an appointment for them, then he tips off his two darling sisters. They lay in wait with thumb extended. And what man could resist giving them a lift? Once in the car, they cease to be cute, cuddlesome little girls. How am I doing so far?
He's not very flattering, is he?
One of you bops the unsuspecting dope, which one of you, I don't know. Then you relieve the guy of his wallet and any relevant papers. The wallet lends strength to the robbery angle, but it's really the papers that are important. Now, sometime after the robbery, the guy gets a demand note. Pay up, or else the papers fall into the wrong hands.
Yes, you really are remarkably clever, Mr. Troy.
What shall I do with him, Mrs. Ambrose?
We'll decide that later.
You don't have much time, Mrs. Ambrose. Ever since I left the office of Inspector Caswell of Scotland Yard, a policeman with very big feet has been walking on my tail.
You're lying.
You hope I am.
Mother...
In fact, if you'd care to look out of the window, you'll probably see a whole flock of Caswell's boys.
What?
That's what I was waiting for, Buster!
Yeah. Joshua!
It's the oldest dodge in the book, but it never fails to work. You've only got to distract him for a second. One of you ladies better see to that arm of his.
No.
Please, Mrs. Ambrose, I never shot a woman yet, but there's always a first time for everything. Just keep perfectly still. Now, one of you two pick up that phone and dial through for the local gendarmes, please. It was a good racket while it lasted. Geoffrey sent word to his family about his various clients and when they were coming to visit him, bringing with them, of course, relevant papers. The girls gave out with a hitchhike routine and relieved them of their documents. Days later, the motorists received threatening demand notes. Pay up, or else the papers would be made public. Yeah, it's all over for them now. But sometimes I lie awake at night and wonder just which of the two marauding mademoiselles it was that hit me over the head. Bettina or Belinda? I never did find out.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.